1991 that Mark Lowry and Buddy Green wrote their now famous song, Mary, Did You Know? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Mary, did you know? All of which raises the question, just what did Mary know about her baby boy and the future that lay ahead of him? We know, firstly, that as a young Jewish girl, she would surely have known of her people's hopes and longings for a Messiah to come, a hope which all the prophets, as we've heard this morning, like Isaiah, had foreshadowed and spoken of, the hope of a Saviour, a deliverer for Israel. She would have known from the angel Gabriel's announcement that she, Mary, was going to conceive supernaturally and that the son she would bear would not only be a son of David and a son of Jacob, but the son of God himself and the one who would preside over a kingdom that would never end. And she knew too that instead of calling him Joseph after his stepdad, she was to call him Jesus, which means Saviour. We can work out from the song of praise she uttered after the announcement how humbly she accepted her part in it all, despite what it might have looked like to the outsider, her being pregnant and not married. She saw it all as God remembering his promise to show mercy to his people, and that was an event in which she could play a small part. This understanding would have been further confirmed by somewhat bewildered shepherds on the night of his birth, as they raced into the stable and relayed to Mary what the angels had said about the birth of this little boy. The angel said to the shepherds, they reported to Mary, "We bring you good news of great joy. To you in David's town this day is born of David's line a Saviour who is Christ the Lord." Words she treasured. Words she pondered time and time again. Good news. Great joy. Christ the Lord. What could all that mean? What did lay ahead for her little boy? 8 days later at Jerusalem, they attended the temple for the service of purification and the consecration of their firstborn son. She was perhaps given the first clue to the future and some further words to ponder from a godly man named Simeon. Taking the baby Jesus in his arms, he pronounced, "Now, Sovereign Lord, I have seen the salvation you have promised, the glory of your people, and a light to the nations," and then added some foreboding words to Mary. "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and Mary, a sword will pierce your heart also." What did that mean? Could she have known that the baby that she had just delivered would be the deliverer of the world? As he grew, could she have known that the tiny hands that she held would one day calm a storm, one day touch the face of an untouchable leper, one day heal a blind man, and eventually be used to impale him on a Roman cross? Did she know that the little boy she fed would one day feed over 5,000 people at one sitting, using only a little boy's lunch? Or did she know that the little boy she comforted time and again would one day offer comfort to all who needed rest and were heavy laden. And I wonder what she pondered when she heard her 12-year-old son discussing theology in the temple with much older and learned teachers of the law. Her 12-year-old, who thought it was quite normal to be in his Heavenly Father's house discussing his Heavenly Father's business. More things for her to treasure and ponder in her heart. When was it exactly that Mary worked out that it was not Roman rule that he had come to free them from, but the consequences of her people's rebellion against God? Could Mary have ever foreseen that terrible Friday when her son would hang from a Roman cross and be ridiculed by all but a faithful few? Or could she have foreseen the glorious Sunday morning that would follow when he rose from the tomb, completing his conquest of sin and his conquest of Satan? Whatever she understood, we know that by the time that Jesus had turned 30, she had complete trust in him. Something we see in evidence at the wedding in Cana, the site of his first miracle. When the wine ran out, she simply said to the host, "Do whatever he tells you." But you know, there's a more important question than what Mary knew about her little boy. And it's what you and I know about him now. Did you know, for example, that this Jesus is the Son of God, the Lord of Lords, the Creator of the world, the Great I Am, the Light of the world, the Prince of Peace, and the Way, the Truth, and the Life? Did you know that he said, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father"? And that in the words of Scripture, he came into this world to save sinners, a thing he alone could do as the sinless Son of God. Did you know that he came to bring hope to a world largely without hope? That he came to bring forgiveness to those bowed down with guilt? We're discovering there are more and more people who are seeking help for stress and broken relationships. Many more who do not know where to turn or to whom to turn. That might be you this morning. There may be some here who have hidden pain, a hidden feeling of hopelessness, masked by some way that you've managed to get yourself through life, but really you don't have much hope. You maybe have no assurance of what will happen to you when you die. Then you need to know, above all, that Jesus was God's gift of love to a dying world, that God loved you so much, he sent Jesus in the form of that little baby boy to grow to a man, to die in your place and my place, so that he could reconcile you to himself. Did you know there's more historical evidence for the life of Jesus Christ than there is for the life of Julius Caesar? And yet, a survey released this week, 40% of people in Great Britain now believe the church has made up everything about Jesus. 40%. They've taken historical fact and now believe that it's all been made up by the church. The hope that Jesus brings is something very, very special. In yesterday's Herald, in the opinion piece, Simon Smart from the Centre for Public Christianity relayed three conversations he'd had throughout the year with three people in different circumstances who'd found hope in Christ. The first one, a man he calls Marwat, though that's not his real name. Marwat was an Armenian pastor in the northern Syrian city of Aleppo, which you will have heard of in the news. It's full of uncertainty. Islamic State controls territory around it. Heavy fighting is taking place. Marwat feels compelled to remain there for his congregation, most of whom could not get out. He visits his wife in Lebanon on a monthly visit. Do you know something about Aleppo? It's past its 50th day without electricity. For 9 months, there's been no internet. Fuel and water is in short supply, and it's freezing at night, and there is no joy for the children, and it's very unsafe for them to go out. The economy is bad, and the cost of everything has escalated 6 to 8 times. The churches are still holding services, but the mood of the people is not very good because we don't know where we're heading. Coming up to Christmas, it's understandably an enormous challenge. Humanly speaking, he said, it's not easy for me to bring hope into a hopeless situation, but at the same time, celebrating Christmas, Jesus' birth and the Prince of Peace brings us an inner hope and an inner peace. And when I asked him whether he felt like his God had abandoned him, he insists the conflict is because of human brutality. My hope is that people will not lose faith despite the hopelessness of their situation. He cited a second interview he'd had with Angie, who'd spent 20 years in jail for murder and was released in 2011. Sexually abused by her father, she was an alcoholic by the time she was 9, heavily into drugs by the age of 15. By 25, her life had spiraled out of control. She didn't find God until 16 years into her sentence through the prison ministry called Kairos. But now she has an inner peace and a hope that comes from knowing Jesus Christ. I wonder if Mary ever knew that there'd be thousands and millions of people just like these two people who have found their hope and found their peace in the little baby boy that she once brought into this world and held in her arms. Or David, who is an asylum seeker from Burundi, now living in Australia, but not yet having the certainty of knowing that we will accept him. He says, I've come to a place of trusting Jesus in every situation. Having Jesus is having new life. Having Jesus is having hope. For these individuals, the story of Christmas is something really to hold on to. It's not sentimental, but it's hard-edged. So what did Mary know? What do you know about Jesus? But there is the most important question of all, is not what you know, but what you've done about it. How have you responded to Jesus Christ? God has come near to you. Emmanuel, God has come near to you in the person of Jesus Christ in an amazing act of love. He came to be your Savior, your sin bearer. But are you celebrating your Savior's birth or somebody else's Savior's birth? We bring you good news of great joy, for a Savior has been born and he is Christ the Lord. But have you ever pondered these words for yourself? And is it your Savior that you're celebrating today? Have you the joy that comes, like these three people and millions of others, from accepting Christ as your Lord and Savior? Do you have the joy of which those three people spoke, the inner peace that comes despite their difficult and hopeless situation? How have you responded to Jesus? If today is a day that you really want to talk further about that, you've come to the right place. That's what this church is here for, that we might share that news with you. And please, after this service, I would be more than happy to talk with anyone who wants to say, look, I want to talk more about having Jesus as my hope to give me that peace of which you spoke. And then we'll know that the birth of Christ is a day for you to celebrate forever. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you chose to come to this earth. You chose to leave the glory of heaven. And Jesus came into this world to tread the paths of this often hopeless world. Confused, people running every which way. And yet in it all, you've come to bring hope and peace. Father, we thank you. Father, we pray you will speak to any people today, any person who is thinking, yeah, that's me. I've not really settled with God. I haven't really ever asked Christ into my life. I don't really have the peace. Father, I pray you will give them no peace until they find their peace in you. For Christ's sake, amen.